September 1st, 1908. Experience as a teacher. Ellen G. White. Experience is said to be the best teacher, and genuine experience is indeed superior to knowledge gained from books. But habits and customs gird people as with iron bands, and these habits and customs are generally justified by experience, according to the common understanding of the term. Very many cling to injurious habits, which are decidedly enfeebling to physical, mental, and moral health. And against all remonstrances concerning their course, they urge their experience. But true experience is in harmony with natural law and science. It is right here that we have met with the greatest difficulties in religious matters. The plainest facts may be presented, and the clearest truths brought before the mind, sustained by the Word of God. But ear and heart are closed, and the all-convincing argument is, my experience. Some will say, the Lord has blessed me in believing and doing as I have, therefore I cannot be in error. Thus, the most elevating, sanctifying truths of the Bible are rejected for what they are pleased to call their experience. The Lord made man upright in the beginning. Adam was a perfect type of man, possessing a perfectly balanced mind. Adam and Eve were permitted to eat of all trees in the garden, save one. Concerning the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the Lord said, "Thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." Eve was beguiled by the serpent to believe that God would not do as he said he would. "Ye shall not surely die," the serpent said. Eve ate, and imagined that she felt the sensations of a new and more exalted life. She bore the fruit to her husband, and it was her experience that had an overmastering influence upon him. The serpent had said she should not die, and she felt no ill effects. The experience of his wife stood arrayed against the positive command of Jehovah, and Adam permitted himself to be seduced by it. Thus it is with the religious world generally. God's express commands are transgressed, and because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. In the face of the most positive commands of God, men will follow their own inclination, and then dare to pray over the matter, and endeavor to prevail upon God to allow them to go contrary to his expressed will. They have exercises of mind which they consider a most wonderful experience which God has given them. But God is not pleased with such prayers, and it is not God who gives them the wonderful experience. True experience will be in perfect harmony with natural and divine law, but a false experience will array itself against the principles of science and the precepts of Jehovah. Superstition and bigotry control the minds of many and blind their judgment, so that they do not discern their duty to their fellow men, nor to yield unquestioned obedience to the will of God. Balaam inquired of God if he might go to Moab to curse Israel, because for so doing he had the promise of great reward. God said, "Thou shalt not go." But Balaam was urged by the messengers, and greater inducements were presented. Balaam had been shown the will of the Lord in the matter, but he was so eager for the reward that he ventured to ask the Lord the second time. The Lord permitted Balaam to go. Then he had a wonderful experience. But who would wish for such an experience? There are persons who would understand their duty clearly if their duty was in harmony with their natural inclinations. Reason and circumstances may point out their duty clearly, but when the path of duty is not in line with their inclinations, these evidences are frequently set aside. Then these persons will presume to go to God to learn their duty. But God will not be trifled with. He will permit such persons to follow the desires of their own hearts. My people would not hearken to my voice, he says, so I gave them up unto their own heart's lust, and they walked in their own counsels. Psalm 81, verse 11, 12. An experience of genuine faith is followed by love, and love by unquestioning obedience. All the powers and passions of the converted man are brought under the control of Christ. The Holy Spirit is a renewing power, transforming to the divine image all who will receive it. The daily inquiry is, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? For the true Christian accounts the service of Jesus as the truest joy and freedom. The law of God is his delight, and instead of trying to bring the divine requirements into harmony with his own inclinations or deficiencies, he is constantly striving to rise to the level of their perfections.